Some of this material in my introduction is courtesy of a sermon on our website by Mr. Roy Holiday, so I wanted to acknowledge him, and I adapted some of that material and added some of my own as my introduction today. So I'd like to ask, to begin, why do we eat food? What is the purpose of eating? Very simple question. We all like to eat, and we realize that food gives us strength and energy. We all know that we must sustain our physical life or we will die. How often do we eat? Typically two or three times a day, maybe some snacking in between. And we seldom forget to eat because our bodies constantly remind us that we are hungry and have need of food if we forget to eat. If we skip a meal or if we fast, we become weak and our minds can become dull. We've all experienced this. One way that we can understand how the spiritual conversion process works is to compare it to how our physical bodies use food and convert it into energy that is carried into every cell in our body, where that energy is used by the cells to perform their functions, to reproduce in some cases and eliminate waste from the body. Physically, our bodies can get into a run-down condition if we do not eat properly. We then need food and rest to build our body and mind back up. We need to be renewed with food on a daily basis. Well, let's begin, brethren, in God's Word today in Romans chapter 12, and we'll read verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It's a very familiar scripture. Paul writes to the Romans in verse 2 of Romans 12. He writes, "And do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are to be transformed in our mind, and we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, as Paul says here. Just as the physical body is renewed with food, we must be renewed spiritually as well. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul takes this concept a little bit further in speaking to the Ephesians. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him, God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." The power that is within us, brethren, is God's Holy Spirit. It is the power that has brought you here today, that has changed your life, and that has transformed and is in the process of transforming your mind. And it is the power that sustains us spiritually. We must be sustained. Let's notice next Paul's words to the Corinthians. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Our inward man is being renewed day by day. Just as we need to be renewed physically on a daily basis, we must eat. We need to be renewed or recharged spiritually on a daily basis as well. And if we do not do so, brethren, we will begin to weaken spiritually and begin to drift away from God and the things of God. This renewal that we need is by the power that is within us and works within us, God's Holy Spirit. And it is facilitated by something that we are to do daily. And I appreciated Carol's sermonette about prayer. There is something that we need to do daily that facilitates this renewal. Prayer is one, the study of God's Word, meditation, thinking about spiritual things and the things of God, and also fasting, but we don't fast every day, of course. But let's focus today on prayer. Again, I appreciated Carl's message as a lead-in into this. We'll focus on daily prayer and the spiritual renewal that we can receive through it. And I have 8 ways that we can benefit from prayer and from renewal to be spiritually renewed on a daily basis. Today we'll look at 4 of them. And then we'll look at the other 4 in the second message, which will be probably some months from now. So the title of this message is Daily Renewal by Prayer. And you can put part 1 if you'd like. Let's look at one of the ways that we are renewed by prayer on a daily basis. And that is repentance. If you'll turn with me back to Romans chapter 2, Paul has something very interesting to say about repentance. In Romans chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Paul writes, this is Romans chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" You know, God is very patient with us. He's very patient with me. He suffers long with us, doesn't he? But God's goodness to us leads us to repentance, to repent for our sins. And we need to stay connected to him and allow his Spirit to lead us to personal repentance. We stay connected by prayer and by Bible study and meditation and fasting occasionally. Do you desire to stay connected to God and to allow his Spirit to lead you to repentance? Let's look at repentance a little more. If you'll turn with me over to Job chapter 9. Now, Job went through an extreme trial, a severe trial, but there was a purpose for it. There was a reason for it. Job chapter 9, verse 20. I mean, he had everything taken away from him, except his life. But his health was gone, and his family was gone, and all his wealth was gone. Everything was gone, his friends. But Job had a problem, didn't he? In verse 20 of Job chapter 9, Job writes, "Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse." If you think you're righteous, your own mouth will prove that you are not, because of what you will eventually say, and you will sin with it. And the fact that you're saying that you're righteous, you're wrong in saying that. In Job chapter 40, since we're here in Job chapter 40, we'll read verses 1 through 4. Job has some more to say regarding repentance. Job chapter 40, verse 1. This is after God said, "Where have you been? Where were you, Job, when I was laying the foundation of the world, when I was making all of the animals and making this fantastic earth and the heavens and everything, the whole creation? Where were you, Job, when I was doing this?" And moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth." Will you contend with God, brethren? Is God unfair? Can you begin to see beyond yourself at a much larger picture with God's help? Can you then see yourself and your sin? In Job's case, he came to see his own self-righteousness. And he came to see it and to understand, and he put his hand over his mouth. He was speechless. His mind had been opened to see his own sin. Since we're so close in Job 42, we'll read verses 5 and 6. Let's just be a couple of pages over. Job writes, and he's saying to God, to his Creator, to the one who is Jesus Christ, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. I now see and I now understand." He had finally come to acknowledge his sin. And that is hard to do sometimes, isn't it, brethren? To see our own sin and to acknowledge it. But God can help us to do so if we can stay connected to him daily. In Psalm chapter 40, there's another man in the Bible that went through another severe trial for a different reason, and that was, of course, David, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. We liked him so much we named our son after him. No. But David writes here in Psalm 40, verse 11, he writes, "Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore my heart fails me." David saw God's loving kindness and his mercy, and he acknowledged his sin. He said, "God, my sins are so great, I can't even look up at you," as he was certainly in prayer with his face down to the ground, as he was praying this, most likely. He said, "My sins are like the hairs of my head." Surely he was in deep, heartfelt prayer, and he was acknowledging his sin. In Psalm 51, now if you have a marker, which I do not have, to make one here. You might want to mark Psalm 51 because we'll be coming back there a few times in this message. But in Psalm 51, verse 1, David writes, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." There's loving kindness again. "According to the multitude of your tender mercies." In verse 16, he writes, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." So David had a broken and a contrite heart. What does that mean? Well, contrite means broken in spirit, humbled, admitting your fault. Letting go of trying to justify, rationalize, direct fault away from yourself, or excuse the sin. And we're so good at that, aren't we? In David's case, these words were certainly spoken to God in deep prayer. Hold your place here if you have a marker, Psalm 51, and let's turn to Proverbs 28 and read the words of Solomon, David's son, who has something to say about repentance as well. This is Solomon chapter 28, verse 13. Solomon, who had great wisdom from God, was inspired to write in verse 13 of chapter 28, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses or acknowledges them and forsakes them or seeks real change in their life will have mercy." But first we must stop covering our sin. God can help us to do that. Back in Psalm verse 86, if you go back to Psalm 51 with your marker, you can jump back to Psalm 86 fairly quickly. Psalm chapter 86, we'll read verses 1 through 5. This is certainly a prayer. In fact, it says a prayer of David here in Psalm 86, verse 1. David writes, "Bow down your ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long." Certainly in prayer. "Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy for all those who call upon you." Well, brethren, we are all sinners. We're all sinners. And we fall short every day. We need to reach out to God in prayer. And we need to repent every day of our sins. We need to ask God to help us to see ourselves and to not cover it up. Let's look at another aspect of daily prayer that we will consider today, and that is cleansing. Cleansing. We're here in Psalms. If you'll turn to Psalms 19, verse 12. Psalm 19, verse 12. David writes, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults." Now, what are secret faults? They're faults that are shameful faults, can be. But they can also be faults that we can't see so easily. Because maybe it's really painful to look there. David writes, "Cleanse me from my secret faults." Back in Psalm 51, if you have your marker set in verse 2, David writes, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." In verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Now, it's interesting here, he refers to hyssop. Now, hyssop is an interesting plant. It has relatively small leaves, but the leaves have very fine hairs on them. So the leaves will hold liquid very readily. So you can put liquid on these leaves, and it'll stick to it. And if you remember, in ancient Egypt, they smeared blood on the doorposts in the first Passover using hyssop. When Christ was on the cross or on the tree, they offered him vinegar with hyssop because you can dunk it in and then lift it up to his lips. And he didn't take it, of course. But David says here in Psalm 51, "Wash me from my sins. Cleanse me from my sins." In 1 Corinthians 6, remember to keep your marker here in Psalm 51. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, let's look at how we are washed clean from our sins. Of course, we know the answer in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Paul is writing to the Corinthians in verse 11, and he says, "As such were some of you," and he was talking about thieves and covetousness and idolaters and fornicators. Verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified or set apart, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We were justified. We were cleansed of our sin by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but also by the Spirit of our God. Because you see, brethren, there are two types of cleansing that we need. We need forgiveness and cleansing of our sin. We need to be washed clean, as David said. But we also need some inner cleansing of our mind, of wrong attitudes and thoughts and filth that is in our mind. Here we're in Corinthians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll read verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So how do we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? It is by allowing God in His Spirit to cleanse our minds of the filth that is there, that can be there, and attitudes and bitterness that we may have, or anger or resentment or jealousy or whatever it is. You know, we're bombarded with filthiness from every direction on a daily basis in this society that we live in. We don't have to go looking for it, because it'll find us. If you go looking for it, there's a tremendous amount of filth and wrong attitudes. You can find it, and we're bombarded with it. You know, David was on the roof at night, and he sees Bathsheba bathing. He should have asked God. He should have fled the scene and asked God to cleanse his mind of what he had seen and the wrong thoughts that had entered his mind. But he did not. And he paid a heavy price, didn't he? God can cleanse your mind. Do you seek Him daily in prayer and ask Him to do that, to help you, especially when it's early and you can nip it in the bud? Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. Paul writes, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." According to God's mercy, brethren, He will wash us and renew us by His Spirit within us. If we do not seek cleansing from God, if we don't pray for it, if we don't care enough to ask for it, we can easily fall into or back into any of these things that Paul mentions to Titus, of foolishness and disobedience and being deceived and serving various lusts and so on. Do we seriously want to be cleansed? Do we want it enough to pray for it every day? In Ephesians chapter 4, turn there with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. There are even more things that we need to be cleansed of. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God," he writes, "but by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." I hope, brethren, that you will ask God to cleanse your mind when there is a root of bitterness or when there is anger. You know, Satan will attack all of us on a continuing basis to see if something will stick to you or to me. Something that he can germinate in our minds that can begin to grow and can eventually take us away from God, slowly at first. Eventually take us away from our calling. We need to be seeking cleansing and continuing prayer to God, because he will help us if we ask him to cleanse our minds. In Psalm 51, if you have your marker, if you'll go back there, please, to Psalm 51. In verse 10, David writes, as he certainly prayed this to God, he says, "Create a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God." A clean heart, a heart without the filth of the flesh, without selfishness and anger and bitterness and idolatry and wrong attitudes. The third benefit that we'll consider today is the benefit of daily prayer that we must renew, is the aspect of healing. Healing. We're here in Psalms. If you'll jump over and keep your marker here in Psalm 51, but jump over to Psalm 41, verse 4. David writes in Psalm 41, verse 4, "I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you." You know, David needed to be healed as a result of his sin. The word that is used here for healing is R-A-P-H-A, pronounced Rapha. R-A-P-H-A. That it means to mend, to cure, repair thoroughly, to make whole. So David was saying, to make me whole, repair me, heal me. In Psalm 51, verse 10, we just read it, but we didn't read the whole thing. It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Now, the New King James, which we just read here, is steadfast. The original King James says, "a right spirit within me." The word that is used, the Hebrew word, is K-U-W-N, and is pronounced kun, K-U-W-N. And it means, it's a very interesting word. It has very many facets and nuances, but it means erect, or to stand perpendicular, upright, fixed, stable. I think the word right is the best word here, a right spirit. I agree with the original King James. So David is asking here, he's asking God in deep prayer, he's asking God to renew a right spirit within him. And remember what David had done with Bathsheba and his sin. He had been carried away by lust and then deception. He was trying to deceive her husband, and then murder. His thinking, David's thinking, had gone way off the tracks and had led him deep into sin and far away from God. He needed to be set straight or upright in his thinking. He needed to be healed spiritually. And he came to realize it after God revealed it to him through the prophet Nathan. He needed to have a right spirit renewed within him. And all of us, brethren, need to be healed. All of us do. And all mankind does. In Matthew chapter 13, keep your marker here in Psalm 51. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 15, Jesus Christ quotes what he inspired the prophet Isaiah to write. And it involves us now and all mankind in the future. In Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." You know, Jesus will heal the hearts of those who turn to him. He's healing us and has healed us now, but all of mankind will be healed in the future. They will be healed spiritually and physically. But right now, he offers that healing to us if we'll turn to him. Will we turn to God in prayer and ask him to heal us? Back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 24, Paul talks about healing as well. But perhaps looking at it from a different perspective. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore I say, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness." We need to be renewed, brethren. We need to be healed. We need to be cleansed. If we slip and the old man's ways start to come back, and we need God to heal us spiritually to get back on track, do we ask God to heal us, to set a right spirit within us again? Let's look at another aspect of healing here in Philippians, this one book over, Philippians chapter 3, because there are other things we need to be healed of. Philippians 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." We need to forget those things that are behind, our own guilt, perhaps, for what we have done, and perhaps what others have done to us or to others. You know, if we have repented, brethren, God forgives us. We need to move on and forget those things. We need to keep pressing forward toward the goal of God's family, to be immortal with God, to have eternal life, to be on God's level with him, that we can see him as he is. to be his son and he our father, to have full fellowship with him. How fantastic is that, brethren? We need to keep moving toward that and forgetting about the things in the past, including the hurts, because it won't matter then, will it? When you are a God being with God, will you be thinking about 1983 and what happened to you then when somebody hurt you? And that may have been a big deal at that time, but it will not be then. It won't be. We need to forget the past, what we have done and what others have done, and ask God to help us to do that. You know, in Psalm 103, we won't turn there, I'll just read it to you. In Psalm 103, verse 11 through 12, David writes, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he, God, removed our transgressions from us." God forgives us when we truly repent, and he forgets our sin. We need to forget the past and move forward. And I say that to myself as well. We need to forget the past. We need to ask God to heal us when we get off track, when we're looking backwards and not forward. To heal us when our thinking is not right and it's wrong for whatever reason. We need to keep moving forward to the goal. Nothing else can measure up to that goal. It all pales in comparison. Well, the fourth aspect that we'll consider today, the last aspect, is the aspect of God renewing his strength in us. His strength in us. You know, there was a reason why David suffered for a while in exile. He was fleeing for his life. That trial was drawing him closer to God and preparing him for his rulership of Israel and later for God's family. He needed to develop a strong trust in God and a reliance on God, which he addresses throughout the Psalms. On many occasions, David was at or near the end of his rope, and he had to rely on God to strengthen him, to make it. In Psalm 31, if you turn back to Psalm 51, Psalm 31 isn't too far away. If you have your marker in place, Psalm 31, we'll read verse 9 through 14 and 23 through 24. Psalm 31, verse 9. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble," David writes. "My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. You are my God." Verse 23, "O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Well, God did strengthen David's heart on many occasions as he was inspired to write. He experienced coming to the place that he could only make it if God strengthened him. But God gave him strength, didn't he? And David was no stranger to prayer. in Psalm 109, verse 4. Excuse me, Psalm 105, verse 4. David writes, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore." Will we seek God and his strength? Will we pray to God daily and ask him for strength to help us? Because God does love you and will strengthen you. Do we care enough again about it to ask for it in prayer? The strength that is needed to stay on track and to endure to the end of our race is not possible by our own strength. It is not. We need God's help. We need to come to the point that David did, that I can't make it. I am a broken vessel. I need you, God, to help me, to strengthen me. Do we ask God for that on a continuing basis? Just like our physical strength must be renewed on a continuing basis with food. In Isaiah chapter 40, if you'll turn there with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah was inspired to write something very interesting here. Isaiah also went through trials, didn't he? He needed strengthening from God, as we do. In Isaiah chapter 40, we'll read verses 28 through 31. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." God is the source of true strength. And we need to be renewed with his strength on a continuing basis. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, if you'll turn there with me, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul talks about how we are strengthened, how God strengthens us. This is Ephesians 3, verse 16, "that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." To be strengthened in your mind, in your heart, with God's power, so that you can endure and stay on track toward his family. You know, Paul is another person, character in the Bible who went through a great deal. In fact, let's turn there. I think we have a little bit of time. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul suffered a great deal in his life as well, and he came to the point, like David did in Isaiah and Job and others. In Ephesians chapter 4, excuse me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased." And he certainly did, didn't he? He was imprisoned and he was beaten and shipwrecked. "And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Because Jesus Christ was in him through God's Spirit, as he is in us through his Spirit, he will give us the strength that we need so that we can do all things that we can endure all things, brethren, that we can get through whatever we must get through in this life. Do you pray for that daily? Do you ask God to strengthen you? Have you learned to depend on God for strength like David did and these others, as Isaiah and Paul and others in the Bible came to understand? Learn the lesson and pray to God for daily strength. He loves you and He'll give you what you need. He will. Well, brethren, I hope you will think about these four aspects of renewal by God's Holy Spirit that are facilitated by daily contact with God. I hope you will repent daily of your sins and ask God to cleanse and heal you spiritually, and that you would ask Him for inner strength. These things and others that we'll look at next time must be renewed on a continuing basis as we move forward in our development and preparation for God's family, and He is personally developing each of us and working with us. If we neglect this daily renewal by not seeking God in prayer, we will in time become spiritually run down and weak. And this is very dangerous. We can't allow that to happen, to become vulnerable and spiritually weakened. We are God's first fruits, and we are holy, as David said in Psalm 86 that we read earlier. We cannot allow ourselves to become spiritually weakened. Don't neglect praying every day and asking God for what you need. Ask God to help you to pray. Now, we spent a lot of time today in the Psalms. Let's finish there. If you turn back to Psalm 51, and then we'll jump over to Psalm 109. It's not too far away. Psalm 109. We'll read verse 3 through 4. Psalm 109, verse 3. David writes, they have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers. But I give myself to prayer. I give myself to prayer. I hope you will give yourself to prayer, as David learned.